Welcome to the Last Christian Radio Show with your hosts, Brother J.D. Williams and Brother T.L. Farley. It's now time to grab your Bible as prophecy brings into focus the events playing out on the world stage at incredible speed, right before our very eyes, and exactly as was foretold.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams, and joining me live there from the Dallas and Fort Worth area is my good friend and co-host, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. How are you doing tonight, Terry?
Doing okay. You caught me making a note. I can see you thinking, boy, I hope you wake up soon enough to get in there. So I'm doing fine. Thank you, and Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy
Merry
New
Christmas.
Year. All the best. All the best in 23.
Amen anyway. And amen. Terry, first of all, let me say this. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, please do. The channel continues to grow. It is our way of getting the message of Jesus Christ out there, and we would really appreciate it if you would help us with that. Just takes a second to subscribe to the channel, like, comment, and help us out getting this message out there. Like I said, it is growing every single day, and we really appreciate everybody helping us with that. Terry, I warned you before we even started tonight
Could you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay. No, I mean, did you hear me scratching on the...
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, getting on with things here. I want to warn people that I've actually got so much loaded on my computer system tonight that I'm really afraid that we may run into some streaming issues. And if we do, please bear with us on that. And I haven't loaded up this much stuff in, I can't even remember when, probably since 2015 or 2016, somewhere in there. So
okay.
It's been a long time that I've had this much stuff, but it's the reason for it is going to become very obvious. And that is, this is the rapture alert. And a couple of Saturdays ago, we had a presentation that we did on YouTube. I don't even remember the name of it. Oh, yeah, it was called The Rapture, Tribulation, Second Coming, Our Generation Sees Them All. Now, this was back, as I said, it was a couple of weeks ago. And just yesterday, I had somebody write me or begin to message me about this. Actually, I think it was Saturday, this past Saturday, that they messaged me. And a good message. The thing is they didn't quite understand some things. And, you know, I never, Terry, say somebody's trying to, you know, blow smoke, you know, something like that. But I couldn't tell from the way the conversation went whether or not they believed in Jesus, didn't believe in Jesus, believed in the Bible, didn't believe in the Bible, couldn't tell. But you know, they were using scripture. And you know, one night you said that if people look for the rapture hard enough that they get depressed or they, you know, it disappointed, I think is the word you use.
And if they're looking the wrong way, yeah.
And, you know, that kind of went through my mind too. Maybe this person is just disappointed, you know. But anyway, I promised him that we would address his issues. And that's exactly what we're going to do tonight, okay? So, I'm going to get started with this right away, and Terry, feel free any time to break in, okay? So this is the original message. Now, I'm not putting the gentleman's name in there. I just refer to him as a listener. But I am posting exactly what he wrote. And that is, Jesus and the New Testament writers tell the reader when all these things must take place. Please read Matthew 24:34, Mark 13:30, and Luke 21:32. Very specific scriptures. Now, at that point, he then quotes one of the scriptures, this generation will not pass away until all these things happen. Now, of course, he's not taking that in the proper context. We'll get to that in a minute, but irregardless, it is scripture. Now, he continues his message with, a generation is approximately 40 years. Jesus is referring to the generation living in his time in the first century. This did not happen and is a failed prophecy. No one knowing the hour or day is in the time frame of the generation in the first century. For example, I might tell you I will respond to your video in a week, but I do not know the day or hour. I'm giving you a time frame, but not an exact day or hour. There are numerous other verses in the New Testament that set Jesus, Son of Man's, second coming in the first century Jesus' generation. We're now nearly 2,000 years later. Now, the first thing I want to do here is I want to highlight... Here we go. I want to highlight what he wrote there. A generation is approximately 40 years. Now, very quickly, and moving on here, some wrongly believe the myth that a generation is some way set in stone and limited to only 40 years. This is a false understanding. A generation is actually defined, even in Scripture, as being closer to 70 years and often even longer. I'm going to give you a for instance here, Terry. The the World War II generation is frequently referred to as the greatest generation. And although few of those people remain, people from that generation are very much alive, and that generation will continue to exist until the final person from that generation has passed away. So while the exact number of years is only decided by a clear birth date and date of death, meaning the true number defining the length of a generation could, and often does, exceed 100 years. Your comments, Mr. Farley?
There's so many different are involved in, of course, when Jesus said this generation, you have to take all of the passage in context. I understand you have those already. I'm not going to steal your thunder if you're all set with that.
Yeah, I am. I'm not going to get to them right now, but yes, we are going to address it point by point, but go ahead.
When you read the entire passage in that area, you're going to understand this generation he's speaking of is a generation which is in the future. And you understand that when you understand the context and the manner in which Jesus presented it.
Amen. And, you know, that's really the whole point here, is that context is important. And, you know, you've heard me say this many, many times. And again, this is not to disparage the individual that wrote me. I encourage people to write me. You know, we want to help. We want to teach. And I told him that as well. You know, we don't interpret. We simply do not interpret. We only teach. And we will provide you with Scripture anytime you want it. We'll provide it for you. And we'll discuss it. And we'll try to make sense. You know, let's be honest. Unless you read the Bible every single... And Terry, you've read the Bible for what, 50 years? And you're still finding new stuff just about one thing, right?
Every morning. Yeah. And let me throw that in while you've mentioned it.
Right.
I do have a book out that he can check, which if you're going to do that later, well, I won't say anything. Otherwise, Vastoff or PMR, Google T.L. Farley Books, over 1,350 plus scriptures, over 1,500 cross-referenced indexed, alpha-indexed passages, so you can go back and forth to your heart's content, 25 plus different Bibles, so you'll understand how difficult it is to make a summation just on one verse or one word.
Amen.
You've got to do some study.
Right. And I don't have your book title. You know, I don't have your book cover. Don't have any of that. I'm already overloaded. So
you don't need any reason. T.L. Farley Books. You'll find it.
All right. And we'll talk more about that as we go on. But now, I want to go back to his message again here and begin to highlight this stuff a little bit. You'll notice that what I have highlighted there is a generation is approximately 40 years. And he also talks about failed prophecy. Things have not played out. And you know, that he speaks about the day and hour, which the Bible says only God knows, not even the angels in heaven, but God alone. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's an important point to bring mm-hmm. across here. But now mm-hmm. moving right along, mm-hmm. You can see that what I have placed up here is that a generation is closer to 70 years and often more than that when you really get mm-hmm. down to it. And I know people are going to ask me for biblical backup on that, and I'm happy mm-hmm. to do that. You look at Psalm 90, verse 10, the mm-hmm. days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon to be cut off. And look what else it says. Mm-hmm. And we fly away. That's kind of a reference to the rapture, wouldn't you think there, Terry?
Well, it certainly is an indication of how God delivers us to heaven. You know, I want to be careful. I don't say that's directly involved. It certainly is a description of what happens at the rapture.
Absolutely.
Without question.
Absolutely.
Without question. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm trying to make sense out of this for everyone. And so mm-hmm. let's go ahead and move on to this. Mm-hmm. The misinformation that's in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, mm-hmm. you can see that he says there are numerous other verses in the New Testament that set Jesus, Son of Man's second coming in the first century of Jesus' generation. And we're now 2,000 years later. In other words, what he's saying there, Terry, is that we're late. The rapture is late, and that is certainly not the case. I'll let you expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely, because when he says the way they're going to know Jesus is coming, he said he's going to come as a lightning going from the east to the west. You know how fast lightning moves?
Right.
And that's what he's going to be coming. It says he's going to land on the Mount of Olives. And there's other caveats in there, but we don't have time tonight. But just that certainly is in there. You can find it. He goes to the Mount of Olives and so forth. So that's when that's going to happen. But that's in Revelation chapter 19.
Right.
It's perfectly and plainly described. Look up Revelation 19 and you'll see that's what he's talking about. That's when it happens. It's at the end of the tribulation. We haven't even started the tribulation.
Right.
That's not, you know, so, and he comes at the end of it. So we're okay. He didn't fail. And I did want to throw in one prophecy, or one thing from Deuteronomy 18:22.
Sure.
The fact that if someone gives a prophecy and it's not true, Jews were instructed to stone that prophet to death because he was a false prophet.
Right.
That everything he says, every word has to come true. Jesus is the only prophet that fulfills that completely, with the exception of those in the Tanakh in the Old Testament. But he fills everyone. In fact, hundreds and hundreds of his prophecies have taken place and been fulfilled. And it's like the astronomical number of chances that this is possible is phenomenal. We could spend an hour just talking about that.
Right. Well, you know, the thing that I want to point out here, and to do it, I've got to put this back up on screen again, because he lists very, very specific scriptures. You have Matthew 24:34, Mark 13:30, and Luke 21:32. And here, I am not chastising in any way, shape, or form. But this is something that is extremely important for people to understand. You cannot go and grab one scripture out of the Bible and say, that's it, I'm done, okay, that's it, that covers it all. That's not how it works. You have to actually put the scripture into its proper context in order for it to make sense. Another thing that you've got to understand is the Bible is not written in chronological order. In other words, when you pick up the Bible and you open it up, yes, it begins with the creation of the earth, and yes, it ends with the new heavens, the new earth, the everlasting life. Everything is completely finished. But everything in the center there, from Genesis through Revelation, is not necessarily in the exact order in which things occurred. And you have to be able, if, for instance, I can remember something that happened half an hour ago and interject that into a conversation that I'm having like now. Okay. For instance, we're talking about this, about these scripture references. And say, oh, wait, before I forget, Terry, I need to tell you about this that happened on Christmas Day, and then return back to where I was before. In other words, the Bible is written pretty much like a conversation. You know, when it comes to, when it comes to that type of thing, you can't just roll with it. It doesn't just roll like that. You remember the problem I had with our Christmas story presentation of trying to keep everything rolling because it kept bouncing back and forth, you know, and I used to have to keep reminding people that that's exactly how it's written, because it's written by different people. It's not the same author. Let me point out something. Terry's written three books. Terry, how many chapters of any one of your three books did somebody else write besides yourself?
Oh, nobody.
Nobody else wrote any part of your...
No.
Okay, so...
No, that's all mine.
Okay, it's completely yours. So if somebody else had written something and then expected you to know exactly where they left off and how to start that up, you could have pulled that off right away, right?
No, I'm not really sure what you're saying.
I am saying very, very clearly that the Bible is written by very, very different people, and they all kept it in context. It all fits 100% from the Old Testament to the New. Tell me another book. Give me another book that does that. Somebody's going to say the Quran, and I'm going to tell you the Quran's been rewritten in so many times that it doesn't even have Jerusalem mentioned in it a single time. Not once. Look it up. Okay, if you can find the word Jerusalem in a Quran, and by the way, the Muslim faith believes that Jerusalem is their third holiest site. Well, for a third holiest site, it seems like it ought to be mentioned in their holiest book at least one time, don't you think? But it's not.
And you would think, yeah.
It's not. But we've already discussed several times how many times that Jerusalem is mentioned in the Bible. And so, I mean, you know, in other words, people, understand that whenever you are beginning to look at Scripture, take it in context. That is the most important thing. Now, when we get into the second half of the show, we're going to get into this really deeply. So I'm hoping that everybody's going to stick around for that, because we are going to go deep. But just to give you something, you know, I don't want to get out of here in the first half and not bring something up here. So let's look at Matthew 24. Remember, now this is one of the things that our listener was asking that we provide was Matthew 24:34. So in order to put it into context, let's go to Matthew 24 and begin with verse 29. Terry, do you have that on screen? Can you read that?
I do. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
And of course, now we have also addressed this just recently, that the passage that we just read, and again, this is one of those instances where you, the Bible goes, it jumps a little bit. You go forward, you go backward. You go forward, you go backward. It's not written in chronological order. So the scripture that we just read from the book of Matthew, that is not the rapture of the church.
No.
So I'm going to put it back on there one more time, and Terry, just explain it again. I know we just did this recently, but please go over it again, because I really want this to be clear. This is not the rapture of the church. This is the second coming of Christ, and there is a difference. Do not confuse the two. They are very different. Go ahead, Terry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, immediately after, and may I emphasize, after the tribulation of those days, and then these things follow. And the rapture is going to happen. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, it says that we, believers in Jesus, are not appointed unto wrath. No, wrath happens all the way through the seven-year tribulation, and it gets greater and greater and greater and worse. But it says we are not appointed to wrath, so that means we have to have been removed before that happens.
Right.
And taken away from that, delivered from it.
And again, I will point out in verse 31, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. He doesn't say anything about from earth. It says from heaven. So the believers are already the Christians living and dead that were raptured are already in heaven at this point, and the call is for the return, the second coming of Christ. So he calls for the elect from one end of heaven to another. So that is just to put one of the scriptures into its proper context. And as I said, now when we get into the second half of the show, we're going to do even more than that, but I thought it was really, really important to get in at least one of them in the first half. But let's go ahead and move on just for a second, and we'll cover the next verses here, which are Matthew 24, 32 through 35. And Terry, I'll go ahead and let you read that one as well.
Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away.
Okay, so now, what are we talking about here, Terry?
What we're talking about is Jesus is introducing the reality of the rapture, of it, the fact that it's going to come.
Correct.
It's going to happen. And he says it exactly. In fact, I've got the word marked out. You want to focus on the word when these things. Mm-hmm. So he's putting these things in order. He's setting it up and laying it out exactly the way it's going to happen.
Right. And again, not chronological order. We were talking about the second coming. And then the next...
In fact, we had finished it. We had finished. The tribulation had taken place. Jesus was calling the elect from all the parts of heaven and so on. And then he says, now, let me tell you something. And you've seen that. You've done that yourself. You're talking about some specific thing. And then you say, but now wait. Guess what? This is what's going to... And you're changing, you're shifting gears.
Correct.
And that's what he's doing here.
Right. And that's where a lot of people get lost. And I think that's where this individual that was writing is getting lost, is confusing the rapture of the church with the second coming of Christ. They are
very easy to do.
Very easy to
do. Many Christians do that.
Yeah.
So don't feel like the Lone Ranger.
Right. And, you know, if you've got more questions on that, please write us. You know, if you've got more scripture that you think contradicts something or confuses you or whatever, write us and we'll do our very best to explain it to you, because, you know, we're not trying to mislead anyone. And we want to give you the very best teaching that we possibly can. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious that you've got these two things confused. This one listener has got these two things confused. Mm-hmm. And you know, is either disappointed or frustrated, or you know, I don't know, you know how to describe it, but we got, you know, I want to encourage you not to give up. And if you think the rapture is late, well, I promise you it's not. Okay. Now, again, in the second half of the show, we're going to get into this a lot more, and so we do invite everybody to come back again. If you have not subscribe to the YouTube channel, please do. It just takes a second. Make sure you ring that little bell, and that'll let you know about anything that we've got coming up in the future. But we're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes with the second half of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. Well, for some of you listening to stations that do not carry the second half of the Last Christian Radio Show, we have reached the end of this edition. We ask that you join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Central Time for another edition of the Last Christian Radio Show. For everyone else, we'll be back right after the break with the second half of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show with J.D. Williams and T.L. Farley.
You're listening to Revelation Radio, part of the Ustreamit Broadcast Network, your online destination for Christian radio for and by Christians, where we gather to share our Christian inspiration, talents, faith, message, and hope. Please visit us online at www.revelationradio.net or www.ustreamit.net today.
There's simply no better way to start your day than with the Holy Bible. Please join Pastor Jason Wilkerson, the pastor of Disciples Fellowship Church, in his daily program, Truth That Transforms, every morning at 9 a.m. Central Time, and again every Sunday at 9 a.m. as well as 12 p.m. right here on Revelation Radio, Truth That Transforms.
This little radio thought is based on God's words to the prophet Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, within its historical context, this prophecy was fulfilled when the Jews returned to Jerusalem in 538 BC. However, since these words are recorded in the Bible, they remain active for anyone reading them today. That's how Scripture works. God's word endures. You can hold it in your hands today. My encouragement to you then is resign your life over to the plans that God knows He has for you. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways. His plans are always for your shalom, even when the contrary seems evident. This promise, spoken more than 2,500 years ago, is still alive and active and real for you today. God tracking is trusting God's enduring plans. I'm Dudley Anderson, more at surereality.net.
KRRB Revelation Radio broadcasts to all 50 U.S. states and more than 160 countries around the world 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We offer the perfect platform for you to host your very own radio show locally, nationally, or to a worldwide audience. And if you're a podcaster or social media content creator, upgrade your productions to digital radio and explode your listening audience. Gain new subscribers, be invited on other podcast or radio shows as a guest, or find guests for your productions. No matter your topic or genre, if it's suitable for all audiences and age groups, you're invited to join the Revelation Radio family. We know you'll love the results, but to make sure radio is for you, your first 90 days are absolutely free, without any obligation or hidden fees. For more information or to get started today, visit www.revelationradio.net or email us at info@revelationradio.net today.
KRRB DB, Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola,
Texas. Here's the latest from the KRRB newsroom.
This is the latest news headlines in 60 seconds with Alan Edwards.
South Korea's military fired warning shots, scrambled fighter jets, and flew surveillance assets across heavily fortified border with North Korea on Monday. Over 1,000 senior Israeli Air Force veterans, including a former Israeli chief of staff on Monday, urged the country's top legal officials to stand tough against the incoming government.
In a letter to the chief of Israel's Supreme Court and other top officials, they said the alliance of religious and ultranationalist parties threatens Israel's future.
President Volodymyr Zelensky claimed that Russia is ready for talks to end the war in Ukraine, even as the country faced more attacks from Moscow, a clear sign that peace wasn't imminent. Five people have been arrested in the shooting at the Mall of America in Minnesota that killed a 19-year-old man.
That's the latest headlines in 60 seconds. I'm Alan Edwards.
Welcome back to the second half of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show with J.D. Williams and T.L. Farley. Well, welcome back, everybody, to the second half of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, and joining me there in Dallas is Mr. Terry Farley. And Terry, you know, I didn't play any news in the first half, because I wanted to get everybody's attention real quick and let them know that I'm serious when I say that if you write us and you ask us a legitimate question, that we'll give you a legitimate answer. And if we don't know the answer, we'll tell you we don't know the answer.
That's right.
Okay. I mean, I'm not shy about saying I don't know. But in this particular case, the questions that were answered or the issues that were brought up, I thought it was pretty clear. And I thought it was pretty easy to explain it. And we're going to explain it even more. But I do want to interject a little bit of what's going on in the world today, because the rapture, we're looking for it.
And,
there are certain things going on right now in the world that lead me and you to believe that we're closer to the rapture now than we've ever been in the history of time.
Oh, man, yes.
So one teacher that both of us listen to quite a bit is Amir Tesfaye. And so I've got a couple of clips from Amir. I'm going to play one right now. And again, I'm authorized to do this as a member of the U.S. Press Association, for those of y'all interested in that. Anyway, here is one of the best Bible teachers that I have ever seen, Mr. Amir Tesfaye, and I've taken off just some snippets of something that he presented on his site, which is called Behold Israel. And by the way, I do suggest that people go there and take a look at it, Behold Israel.
I don't take sides here. I'm just telling you that what you hear and what is on the ground, oftentimes it's two different things. And taking one side or just believing something just because Fox News says or Tucker Carlson says or Donald Trump Jr. tweeted or, I don't know, someone said that, you know, it's not always the real thing. You have to dig deeper. I want to direct your attention to Iran when it comes to the Russia-Ukraine war. I want to direct your attention to Iran when it comes to the United States. I want to direct your attention to Iran when it comes to Israel and the new government that, good news, will be sworn in this Thursday in 2 days. And finally, we're going to have probably sanity within our own government. An Iranian journalist called Reza Abbasi warned of Ukraine's, actually said that Ukraine will return to the pre-industrial era in the event of a Kiev attack on Iran. And why would Iran be afraid of an attack from the Ukraine? Well, according to him, the words of the advisor to the president of the Ukraine, Mikhail Podolyak, who called for a move to destruction of production and arrests of suppliers of weapons, of Iranian weapons to Russia, they were caused by what he said, American cocaine. The Iranian said that the Ukrainians are threatening Iran because they are under the influence of American cocaine. And then look what he said. By the way, whenever an Iranian journalist writes stuff like that, it's normally because he's connected to the regime and he's the trumpet of the regime. And he says the slightest action that threatens the security of the Iranian people will return Kiev to the pre-industrial era. This is not a threat, this is a warning, Abbasi wrote. And on the eve of December 24th, Podolyak said that Iran's weapons enterprises must be destroyed. And in his opinion, Tehran's cooperation with Moscow humiliates Western sanctions institutions. I'll take you back to December 22nd, where Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani urged Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky not to test Iran's patience with unfounded accusations of arms supplies to Moscow. And by the way, this is a bunch of baloney because everyone knows that the Russians are using Iranian drones. Iranian drones were shut down by the Ukraine, and we saw their serial number, data production, and where they were assembled, all in Iran.
Okay, so Terry, what he is speaking about here is that Iran is now threatening those nuclear weapons against Ukraine in the same way that Russia has been threatening the use of nuclear weapons in the Ukraine. And on top of that, we've got little Kim over in North Korea who is running all kinds of tests. I do not have the news clip. I just looked. I do not have it loaded. Mm-hmm. But here's what happened this past weekend. In North Korea, they launched a drone to fly into South Korea. Now, keep in mind that these drones, any of them can carry weaponry. We have used it in our military. We use drones to attack. Drones have been used to attack in the Ukraine. Drones have been used by the Ukrainians against the Russians. Drones are used all the time. So, Kim Jong-un sent a drone into South Korea. And when I say he sent it in, I don't mean he just kind of like crossed the line a little bit and brought it back. No, that wasn't it. He flew this drone to the capital city of Seoul, South Korea, and hovered it above the capital in Seoul. The South Korean government responded. They fired over 90 missiles at this drone. The result was they missed it. They hit one of their own planes. They brought one of their own aircraft down, and that little drone returned to North Korea unharmed. It was a beautiful test run by Kim Jong-un. He was successful, and he just proved that he can hit Seoul, and they can't do anything about it. Now, that, my friend, is a rumor of war. And what you're hearing from the government there in Iran about possible use of nuclear weapons, taken back to the pre-industrial age, okay? Yeah. Think about what things were like in the pre-industrial age. There's only one way to go back that far, Terry, and that's for all the good stuff to be gone, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, that's what your first thought is, well, what is it you're going to use that's going to bring that kind of devastating effect?
There's only one thing.
Yeah.
There's only one thing. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess you could count in chemical or biological weapons. I guess you could count that in. But I don't know. It seems like you wouldn't be able to. I don't know. I think they'll use them all. You know, I think they'll use them all if they need to. If they need to, I think they'll use them all. I called it months ago. I have not backed down one bit. I believe that tactical nuclear weapons will be used in the Ukraine. I encourage our Ukraine listeners, and yes, we got a bunch of them, and I encourage all of you that are listening in the Ukraine to get out of there while the getting's good, if you can. And, you know, we're praying for you. I promise you that we are praying for you. The world is praying for you. But, you know, things are not going to get any better, in my opinion. Instead, they're going to get worse. Moving on now. And we're going to get back to what we were talking about. As you remember, he had asked me to address three different scriptures here, and I think we addressed Matthew 24:34 and put it in context. Mm-hmm. So I think the next one that we need to do is in Mark, and he's got Mark 13:30. So to put that in a proper context, Harry, I'm going to put up Mark 13, verses 28 through 31. And if you can see them there, I'm going to let you read them.
Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all of these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away.
Okay, and that is a direct comment on the rapture of the church. And I can understand where our friend is coming in here saying this generation. Okay, I'm going to put this back up here against it. We're not going to avoid it. We're going to take it on squarely here. Okay, so you can see in verse 30, it says, "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." Now, he is not referring to his generation as what our friend wrote. He said that this meant that it was all about Jesus's generation, and that is far from the truth. Mm-hmm. That is incorrect. Yeah. So I'm going to let you explain it, because you got 40 years of writing about the rapture in this, so go ahead.
Sure. Can you bring it back up in a second here? Let me.
Absolutely. Before we do this again, please remember I'm closing out resources as quickly as I can to keep us going. So if you're going to ask for something, do it before I close it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know you were going to close.
Instantly. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near. What things? All of these other things that are taking place that he has listed. We have seen some of these things at different times. Now they're beginning to converge. They're beginning to overlap, come on each other. So we are in the period he was talking about, because now is when they're beginning to overlap, converge upon each other. He said, when you see these things like that, that's when you need to get ready. That's when the rapture's coming.
Amen. So again, he is speaking about a future generation and not Jesus's.
Yes.
And you know, that's an important point there, and it's something that's a point that definitely needed to be made. So we're going to go ahead now and move to Mark 13, verses 32 through 37.
Mm-hmm. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to keep watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch.
Watch, absolutely. And again, this is directed at the time that Jesus made this, that was preaching this, at that time he was speaking about a future generation, and our assertion in this show is that we are that future generation, and we have reason to believe, we have actual facts to substantiate or back us up that this is the final generation. And you know, Terry, I told you this afternoon, I said, you know, I got so much scripture, there's no way, you know, and we could fly through it all in one night. And you said, no, no, we're not going to do that. In other words, we could rush through this. and not explain it thoroughly, and I think we would miss the boat, and I think that, some people might not get the message. So we're not going to do that. But I can tell you that we have scripture to back up the fact that we are in this last generation, and we're going to bring that up this week. I promise you, everything that I found, everything that I went over in preparation for this show, I still have it, and every bit of it will be used, including that factual information that makes it very clear that we are, in fact, that last generation. Now, remember, initially they were saying 40 years. 40 years is a generation. Never in the history of time has a generation been just 40 years. Never. Okay, not once.
Yeah.
The Bible states that it is 70 to 80 years and sometimes more. Okay? It has now been exactly, pay attention to this, the kickoff or the countdown clock, the kickoff to the countdown clock for this all to happen was in 1948. That was 74 years ago. 74. Yeah. Okay? So, biblically speaking, 70-year generation, 80-year generation, push it out to 100-year generation. Okay? Let's say 100 years. I'm just pulling it. I'm pulling it. Again, I'm not taking a shot. Remember, I never do that. I never project. Okay? I never predict. Never predict. But let's say 100 years from 1948 would be 2048. It's 2022 now. I call that a short time, Terry. How about you?
Yes, it is. It's very short time. And with inside of that, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, inside of that very short time, we recognize the rapture is going to be so much faster than anything we can imagine.
Right.
That's why we're talking about it, because it's going to happen. And wait a minute, what happened? What happened? That's what everybody's going to be asking.
And what I'm trying to get a point across here is do not think you missed it. Do not think that the scripture was missed, that there's any error. Nobody's found one yet, and the writer of the message hasn't found it because it's future is what is speaking of. The future, not the past, not Jesus' generation. Now, in another message, he brought up that Paul expected the rapture to occur in his generation. And I'm going to cover that. We're going to get there, okay? I'm not avoiding that. I wanted to make it clear in this show that we're not avoiding that. And I'll tell you this. Yeah, Paul expected it in his generation. He did. He really did. He thought the rapture was going to happen in his generation. But as people began to die off in his generation, he gave them some reassurance they didn't miss it. Right, Terry?
Exactly. And in fact, it's not that he believed it was going to happen in his generation. What he believed is what the Bible teaches. The rapture, from the time Jesus first began to talk about it, when he said in Luke, watch.
Don't tap on your desk.
when he said watch, he was talking about the rapture being imminent.
Right.
Paul said it's going to happen at any moment. It's going to happen on a day that must be called today. It's imminent. It's at any moment. And that's what he was talking about. He wasn't saying it's going to, because eventually he does die.
Right.
And he covers that. He covers that particular point in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. We won't go there right now, but that he covers that situation and that whole area in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, if you want to jump ahead of us. Go ahead.
The entire point here is that, he expected, as in hoped, as in really, that's really what it comes down to. He hoped it would happen in his generation, but he expected it because Jesus said it was going to happen. So he expected it, but he's not disappointed. I don't know how better to get it across. Go ahead. The word
hope is actually more clearly translated anticipated. So in other words, we anticipated Christmas. It was coming. Now we knew what day it was coming.
Right.
It was coming on the 12th, but we anticipated it. When you get that feeling and you understand of what anticipation truly means, that shows you that we should be daily anticipating it, and it doesn't matter when it's going to come. We should be prepared and ready.
Right.
Excuse me, I've got something in my
And that is exactly what, I'll tell you what, Terry, I'm going to give you a break here, and I'm going to mute you here for just a few seconds here and let you take care of that. But in other words, we should always be anticipating the rapture. The rapture is on schedule. God has not changed the date nor the time. It will be done in His time. Now, again, I want to back up again and address another topic, and that is that we had two or three predictions of the rapture for December between the 19th and the 22nd, I believe. It is now December the 27th. The rapture has not occurred, and don't beat yourself up for making those predictions. Just understand that don't make them. Just don't make them, because you have no idea. The only person that knows when the rapture is going to happen is God. The Bible says so. So quit guessing. Quit guessing. Relax. It's going to happen when it is supposed to happen. You have any comment on that, Terry?
Yeah, and I wish I had it in front of me, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. You can get the exact rendering from the King James Version. He says, what Paul said when he was teaching the rapture is, what I want to do is lead you into the patience of waiting for Jesus. The patience so that you can get up every day and say, this could be the day, and you go through it. You don't worry about yesterday or tomorrow. And when you get up the next morning, it's the new day, and you do the same thing. And you're just going. And while you're waiting, you're occupied, you're doing what we're doing, you're telling people about Jesus, you're checking to see if you're ready, checking to see if they're ready. This is what you're doing.
Right. And one last time, I'm going to put this up here again, just to where everybody can see that I'm not avoiding any scriptures here. This, you notice there at the top, it mentions Luke chapter 21, verse 32. And again, I don't pick one scripture at a time. We don't cherry pick. We don't do that. But instead, we put it all together and put it in context. So here is Luke 21, and we'll start with verses 29 through 33. There you go, Terry.
Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation that sees this will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away.
And you want to look again really quickly there and repeat verse number 32 and kind of emphasize what needs to be emphasized with that?
Assuredly, I say to you, this generation, the generation he's been talking about, that's going to see all these things coming to pass, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Right. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away.
And again, we're speaking of the future, the generation that is going to actually be around, and the generation, again, that we assert is ours, the final generation. Again, the kickoff to all of this was when Israel was restored as a nation in 1948. And in the next show, we're going to get into that. That's when I'm going to bring in where Israel is established, the biblical scriptures on the fact that Israel must come back, that it's scattered everywhere. Mm-hmm. It must come back. It must be the first nation in the history of time and only nation in the history of time to become a nation for the second time on exactly the same land with exactly the same language. I mean, it's incredible. It is totally incredible. But anyway, there's a lot of scripture coming up in the next show that I think people, well, I know if you are really interested in just how close we really are to the rapture of the church, you don't want to miss this entire week. You really don't, because, you know, I've got it jam-packed. I really appreciate the listener writing, because he gave me at least three shows. He gave me, you know, it's like a,
Thank you, sir.
That was a Christmas gift. That was his Christmas gift to me. He gave me three shows at least, and maybe more than that. You remember, Terry, there was a time we were going through the rapture. You know, the we talked about pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib or no trib or whatever, okay? We went into show after show after show. Well, that's kind of like this. You know, we're going to keep it going and try to explain as best we can. Again, I'm going to go again to Luke, and this time it is chapter 21, verses 34 through 36. So let's take a look at it.
Ooh, my favorites. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares for this life. And that day shall come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man.
And I know that scripture just jumped out at you, and you could preach for the next two or three days. But let's look at verse 36. That's got to be a favorite of yours, Terry. Go ahead. Read that again and explain it. Go ahead.
Okay. Remember, he said in Luke, well, watch in verse chapter 13 in Mark 13, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. The first question that jumps off the page, well, how do I get worthy? You accept Jesus as your Savior. He's paid for everything. If you trust in Jesus, you will be worthy. So that's what you've got to do. You've got to believe that He is Jesus. He is the Messiah. He is God. You have to believe, call on the Lord, and you will be saved. That's what I did almost 50 years ago. Just call on Him. He will save you, and you will be worthy and ready. And whatever you need to learn, He will teach you, because God teaches each one of us what we're supposed to know. I cannot run a computer. God said He doesn't need it. Joel's going to come along and take care of that. So you know, and that's all. I can't tap my desk here because I'll create a problem. But anyway, the idea being God teaches you what you need to know. You know things I don't know. That's the way the light that will go.
One thing that I was surprised that you didn't point to was the word worthy to escape. Escape.
Yes.
Escape.
Yeah. Well, I was going that direction. I was going that direction.
Because that's all about the rapture. That is all about the rapture.
Well, and I was focused on the last Christian.
Oh, I know.
Because when you're preaching, if you're not careful, you can say something, and somebody in the crowd is going to say, oh, well, I'm not worthy. I can't go. But that's outstanding. Escape. Those, because it is in Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, Paul talks about Jesus delivering us from this present evil world. That's the escape you're talking about,
right?
Because that's what it's going to be like. It's going to be like an escape from prison. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Well,
it's going to be wonderful. Thank you for
Terry,
thank you
I
for
was,
bringing that up.
I had one more scripture that I wanted to put up, but I don't have time now. So y'all are going to have to wait until Thursday. I threw it up there for just a second, so you got a head start if you were paying attention to one of the scriptures that we will be running coming up on the very next show. Anyway, for those of you, hopefully, we'll be back on Thursday, God willing. And until then, well, all I can say is good night. May God bless you. See you Thursday, I hope, unless a rapture happens.
Mayor?
Thank you. Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here on Revelation Radio. And don't forget to join us every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Central for the Last Christian Podcast, now available on all major podcast platforms and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.